We visited a number of sheltered accommodation properties throughout the area until we went to one, I can't remember the name of the place now, the other side of Bognor Regis, and had a look at a development that was taking place over there. Strolled around to see the layout of a flat within this sheltered accommodation development, and we're really taken with it. So we came back, contacted our architect and said to him, please go and visit this site, the other side of Bognor, and have a look what they're providing there, and then come back and see what you can do in the way of that type of accommodation on this site, which he did. He came back with the application or a drawing for us. Eventually, well, first of all, we were going to change the whole of number 22 into sheltered accommodation, plus flats to the rear of that, plus some flats on what was the number 20, the post, what was formerly the post office, the latest one. However, the cost of converting number 22 would have been considerable. So we then decided to downscale the development, and we looked at building a new block of flats to the rear of number 22. A plan was formed. We consulted East Hants District Council Planning Department to explain what we were looking to do. They were as helpful as they could be, and we then proceeded to try and obtain a planning approval. That's when we hit the village with a bit of a, well, the village weren't too happy with the proposal. This was radical as far as they were concerned. It was a development to the rear of a property, and it's a new development within a conservation area, which according to everyone was going to totally destroy the conservation area. We had, as I say, consulted with East Hants District Council. We'd looked at this, we'd actually addressed all this, and tried to address all of those concerns before we even got there. We thought that we had everything covered, and so that's why we went to planning. However, there was a lot of public outcry against the application. The parish council were against it. East Hants District Council at that stage hadn't been consulted, because it was only the local planning authority, East Hants, Rowlands Council Parish Council. A lot of heated discussions took place at the planning committees at the parish hall. The RCA magazine put in an article completely against it, asking everybody to oppose the application, etc., etc. So for a time we were not flavour of the month. This went on, as I say, for quite some time, and it did cause us some distress. However, we proceeded with what we considered to be a good plan and a good idea, and eventually we did get a planning approval. And in fact, the original application that we put in, we had something like, I'm not sure that it was 8 or 10 flats that we could have developed on that site if we'd used number 22. And we had an approval for that. But as I say, we decided that we would downgrade that. And at the same time, we also felt that the sorting office that had been attached to number 22, the green, had been developed a few years previously under the health and safety rules for postmen. For a postman, you have to have so many square meters of space for him to work in, live in, whatever, for his safety and well-being. We had already extended on the back of number 22 with a new kitchen and a lounge and sorting office. Now, there had been brought out another new regulation regarding health and safety for the postman, which meant another increase in size was required. We did not have the room. So again, we decided to look at what we could do. And on the site, we still had the opportunity for another building in what I can only describe as the top right-hand corner of the garden, opposite where the flats were intended to go. And so we put in an application for there to have a new sorting office built and living accommodation for ourselves. Again, this didn't cause so much of an uproar because we'd already had the approval for the flats. So there was a precedent set, and again, eventually we managed to get the planning approval for that. The construction of that all took place simultaneously. So the flats were built, and so was the property in which the sorting office was to be housed, and that's where my wife and I were then living because our children had long gone by then. The construction to take place, because we only had a small access between the two buildings fronting onto the green, the access, we had to come to an arrangement with Clive Hancock, the landlord of the Robin Hood pub, to take down a couple of his panels from his car park, and the site plans and materials would come in that way. And that's how we managed to get on and off the site whilst it was being developed. So we started digging foundations for the various flats, and as I say, also for our own property. Years gone by, again I haven't mentioned this, to the rear of number 22 there used to be some old cottages, and I believe there were three which ran parallel with the fencing of the Robin Hood. And in fact, one of the local residents, again a namesake of mine, a Mrs. Griffiths, who lives up Uplands Road, still lives within the village. She used to live and was married in one of those cottages to her husband Rowley, who used to work on the railway, British, up at Rowland's Castle. Also in that same back garden, and we hadn't known for quite some years, but there was always a raised patio area about three quarters of the way up the garden, and apparently that was the floor area of two cottages that went across the back of the garden there. And when we started the excavations for the flats, etc., when we actually dug up those floors for that property, we exposed what we can only think was either a cellar or a dump of some sort for all sorts of things. So out of there came all sorts of old bottles, and bits of bric-a-brac, broken china, all sorts of things like this. What did come out in one piece was a foot warmer, which we still have. And that must have been part of those, you know, those old cottages around the back there. This was, as I say, discovered as we went across. We also discovered an old well in the garden, which was eventually filled in. There's I lost there, but so I'm just wondering where I'm going from there.
Okay.
The The flats were then completed in fairly short space of time. The builder was Mr. Al Shortman of TNS Builders, who still is a local builder. He purchased the land from us, and he was then going to sell them on with some sort of leasehold attachment to it. Eventually on there went four flats, and those four flats were advertised within the post office, but we had already previously to that had people coming into us when they knew that the development was taking place, asking if they could be notified when they were available so that they could come and have a look at them. And I would say that three of the four were virtually sold before we had chance to look around. Those were three people who had their names on the list right from the very start, and they'd been extremely interested, and as I say, took those upon themselves almost straight away. The when the development on that was completed, it then went over to our own property. That eventually was completed. So on the site then, the original site of what was Clarence Cottages, number 22 The Green, now stood directly to the north was four flats for older people. They had what they call a Section 51 agreement on those, so they are only able to house persons of 60 years and over. No younger householders can occupy them. The one to the northeast is my own property, which is now number 18 at The Green, which also had the sorting office in. And in recent months, from where we're talking today, has been converted totally into residential accommodation. So it is no longer housing the sorting office accommodation. And then at the very front of The Green, we had number 20, which was originally built and further extended to take the post office that presently today is on the market for sale as a empty business premise. But this is not drawing any interest from public, and hopefully ultimately will be returned to what it was originally, which is a private residence. Thereafter I will have left the site and no longer anything to do with that. If I can just sort of return back to the old post office, one of the items I forgot to mention was that we part of our duties was that we were a telegraph office. So we received and sent telegrams from that office, and we used to receive telegrams from around the world locally. So we had weddings, births, marriages, all the rest of them coming and going there. And I can always remember one coming in, and I'm not sure whether I'm allowed to say, but we had one where we had a knighthood which was mentioned over there, and we had to go out and part of my duty was I had to actually take that telegram and hand deliver it to the person concerned. Even, and as I say, when it was a wedding, and it gave me great pleasure when this was actually a knighthood, and I had to take out a telegram from Buckingham Palace to the gentleman concerned about his knighthood, and that was a tremendous experience. One of the other experiences on the other side, perhaps, is the day that I was in the office with Mrs. Cherry Collins. It was shortly after lunch, and we received a telephone call. As I said, we had a telegraph office, and when you receive telegrams, you used to have part of the office which was secluded from members of the public, whereby you could take telegrams down confidentially. So you could talk confidentially if you had to, if you were sending out private information, etc. So at the rear of the office, inside the secure area, we had this tiny little outlet, and inside of here was a little window that we were able to spy out of, if you like, to see who was coming and going, so that if we had to leave one person behind the counter on their own, at least they were being watched over by the other person. One day, just after lunch, I'd received a phone call, and I answered the phone call, and on the other end was a police, I believe inspector at that time, and he continued to say to myself, we have reason to believe that you may be part of an armed robbery. And this came as some sort of a shock. So I said, oh yes, and where's this information come from? Well, he said, well, it's just someone that we have in the office with us at this moment in time, but the person who is possibly looking to attack your office is armed with a sawn-off shotgun. So this obviously caused a little concern, and he then proceeded to describe the person concerned, giving me a good description of what was. And as he's describing me, this person, I'm looking through this little spy hole, which actually looks out over the door, the entrance door of the post office. And as he's giving me this description, the chap he's describing is walking past the door. So I said to him, the chap you're describing is just walking past the door. He said, don't do anything silly. He said, if he comes through the door, get out as fast as you can. Don't arouse too much disturbance if you can, but just get out. And he said, my officers will be with you as soon as they can. And he put down the phone. So did I. I went back to the office and spoke to Cherry, who was, as I said, I was working with. I said to Cherry, if this chap comes in, you get out into the sorting office, which was adjoining the secure area through a door directly behind us, so we could get out and the chap couldn't actually get to us effectively without blasting his way in. However, and we both stood there for some time wondering what on earth to do. Anyway, after about 5 minutes, a police car pulled up rather quickly outside, a large police car, and in walked this big burly policeman. I thought, crikey, he's been on bodybuilding. He wore a jacket, and I can now assume afterwards he must have had his body armour on underneath, and he looked huge, this chap. He came in with us. One was stationed outside, the others just disappeared off elsewhere. We later were to find out that a police van with dogs came into the area, and they then had blocks at the either end of the village to check out things untoward. We were then, as I say, just guarded by this police officer throughout the afternoon. He came to 5:30, no sign of the chap concerned, and at the end of the day, the police officer said, okay, you can just close the door now, and, you know, that's it for the day. And I said, well, what happens to me now? He's still out there. And he said, well, I don't think he'll come back now. And I thought, well, that's a great comfort to me, knowing there's an armed robber out there, and he'd already been mentioned he might be visiting me. So he said, well, just keep all the doors locked and, you know, we'll be around. So I said, okay. Anyway, later that night, we did get a phone call to say that they had apprehended the individual. And later, again, they did find a firearm. And he was a local, not within the village, but an adjacent village. And again, I'm not going to mention whose son he was, but he was known to us. So, but he'd been apparently on drugs. So this was, I think, his motive. But that was the perhaps the scariest time that we had had in the office. All sorts of laughs and ups and downs throughout the office through various people, you know, coming in, because you don't become a part of, and that's what we did, we became a part of the community of Rowlands Castle, and that is again, I think, why we've stayed there so long. The village becomes your family as well, and that is, I think, is what sustains so many people within the village. The duties within the post office, as I said, have been changing over the years. When we took on the new style office, we also took on new products. It has been introduced by Royal Mail, who controls it, if you like, the post office side. We do bureau de change. There is car insurance. There's household insurance. Credit cards have been introduced. They do payment protection these days for your mortgage. Things are changing all the time. I think one of the biggest changes, perhaps, to the post office was there was a fear of the introduction of email to the post office. Everyone thought that social mail would be affected tremendously, which I guess it has been. The letter writing doesn't take place like it used to. However, that has been superseded by the introduction of eBay and the work that brings. eBay is, I think all of us know now, there's a buyer and a seller. The buyer obviously puts his item on eBay. Someone goes along and says, yes, I'd like it, but they've got to get that item transported from A to B, and that transportation has been undertaken by Royal Mail. And that, you know, had a tremendous effect on a lot of offices. In fact, it's been the saviour of a lot of offices. It's increased sales tremendously over the counter of small packet items, and it's used by all and sundry for selling items. So it is a huge increase in, again, this traffic item over a counter. I can't see that changing for some time. I think that may well increase. There's more and more being sold and transacted over the eBay sites. The only downside may be because earlier this year, 2006, there was the deregulation of the license that Royal Mail hold for carrying mail. That has now been offered out to alternative carriers such as TNT and UPS, all these overseas carriers of mail, and that may in the future have an adverse effect on the Royal Mail package. So, but that remains to be seen. That's now sometime in the future. But as I say, the effect of eBay has been tremendous for offices.
That's all. I think next time we...